We're going to be in lesson number 9 this evening. Step number 8, lesson 9, step 8. We're talking about cultivating daily delight in prayer. That prayer would become something that we would delight in every single day. If I was to look up at everybody, look around, say, man, what a good-looking crowd tonight. What would be your response? Thank you. That's a good one. Would you all agree with thank you? You should respond back like, thank you. Yeah, that's a good one. Only other one would be like, what do you want? Right? It is. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for, was thank you. And so in step number 8, as we're talking about taking where Jesus says, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he talks about the area of praying. He was hoping the disciples could pray with him for 1 hour in his most needed moment in his earthly ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he found them sleeping. Sleeping. And we were talking about praying for an hour. We're breaking it down into little segments that you could pray, 5-minute segments. And now we're not, this is just a pattern. It's an example. You don't have to follow it exactly. But it shows you how simple it could be by praying just 12 5-minute segments of prayer to the Lord. And the one we're on, we just finished our petitions. We had intercession before that, where we're praying for others. Last week was petitions, ours. And we end up now with thanksgiving. So step number 8 in your outline blank is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should always, it's funny, should thanksgiving always follow asking for something even before you received it? Yeah. The Lord wants us to be thankful before we even ask. So in your blank here we have thanksgiving is the area. The basic definition is an act of expressed appreciation. There's your blank. Notice what it says, that it is an act. There's action involved. It is an act of expressing thanksgiving to someone. The action focus is articulated gratitude. Articulated gratitude. You're saying something to show gratitude to the Lord in this instance here. Appreciation, articulated gratitude, and then the key word that we'll look at is appreciation. We appreciate what God is doing for us. Do you appreciate your salvation in Christ tonight? Do you appreciate that He's promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you? Do you appreciate that you have an eternal home in heaven? So we could go on and on and on with the Word of God and the many things. Now understand, you have to use your tongue to speak out to show gratitude to the Lord, to show appreciation. But I want you to notice something, that in one of the marks, when Paul was writing to Timothy concerning the last days, is that men would be unthankful. I mean, there's a lot of other things, unholy. But one of the things that it said, that in the last days, a mark of the last days, is that people would have no gratitude, no appreciation, almost as if they think it's owed them. That is one of the marks that God's Holy Spirit put upon Paul to write to Timothy. He said, here, watch for this. And I'm not just talking about in the world, but maybe even among the people of God. The church. One of the greatest passages of Scripture, when Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, or the churches in Galatia, the region, was that he was concerned that they could be deceived as Eve was, and that they would begin to corrupt the simplicity of Christ. When you think about churches today with all the things we've got going on, and don't misunderstand me at all on this, but churches are going 100 miles an hour, whether it be Christian schools, daycares, you name it, all of these activities are going on, sporting events and all these different things. Have we done something wrong? Would the New Testament church today, if Paul and Peter and them guys came back, would they recognize it with all of its busyness and all of its activity? Have we, in doing good things, corrupted the simplicity? It says, they that gladly received his word, they continued steadfastly in only four things. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And of course, from that was witnessing and soul winning. That was pretty much the extent of it. That was the focus. And people were very grateful for that opportunity. I think if Paul came back just for a short time and then went back, I think, you know what I think he would do? He would write a letter to the American churches. It's time to sit down and write another epistle here. Yep. We're going to talk about tonight being thankful. Offering thanksgiving, not even being thankful for each other, though we should, but offering thanksgiving to God. I want you to sit for a minute and think of how frequently you do, or how infrequently you do. We made mention that God has given us 24 hours in a day last week, and on the average, we sleep 8 of those 24. We work 8 of those 24, and we ask the question, what are you doing with the other 8? And Jesus is asking, and you don't have an hour to pray with me? One of the voices of the past, Dr. Harold Lenzel, he was a Bible teacher. He says this, thanksgiving is the act of expressing mental or oral gratitude to God for his blessings and mercies. Moreover, the giving of thanks should include heartfelt praise in accepting things, we don't like. What? Read on. And thanking God that the apparently evil tidings were not worse ones, thus it was John Wesley could thank God that he broke only his arm in an accident and not his head. In other words, he goes, when we are showing gratitude to God and saying, God, I just want to take a minute and thank you for your blessings and for your mercies, and for the trials that I'm in right now. And being thankful that it could have been worse than what it is, even. Sometimes when we're driving to church, we get out on the golden brick road there of I-30. And it's like completely ridiculous. And next thing you know, you see all the brake lights ahead of you. And you say, oh, man. Next thing you know, you're slowing down. Next thing you know, you're stopped. You're stopped on a highway. Four lanes across. And you look down there and you think, okay, it's either going to be construction or an accident. And I always have to stop because I can get frustrated. Anybody can get frustrated with driving in the DFW area? And sometimes I have to do this for myself. Lord, if it is an accident, because usually you can go on your phone, because you're usually sitting there doing nothing anyway, so I get out my phone and think, it's an accident. Lord, I pray that whoever's in it, that they're not severely hurt, number one. And number two, Lord, I thank you that I'm waiting for them because of their accident, and I'm not the cause of everybody else waiting, amen? So, the writer here is talking about the importance of being thankful. If I'm not mistaken, the Apostle Paul at one point in time wrote, in every everything give thanks. What does everything mean? Good, bad, and the ugly, right? In everything give thanks. And then he goes on to say this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and 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 me. That's God's will for us. For us to be grateful to God and to praise Him no matter the circumstances, remember what the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now, this is not in your notes. There was a teacher in a classroom with a bunch of young students, and he gave an illustration. He goes, there's a man who's holding a fresh cup of coffee. He just poured it, pretty full. And as he's standing there, somebody comes walking in, not paying attention. They bump into him and knock his arm with the coffee, and coffee goes everywhere. And he asked the students, you all have that pictured in your mind? They all shake their heads. Yes, they do. He goes, how did the coffee get spilled? And one student raised their hand and said, somebody bumped into the guy that was holding it. And everybody agreed. Would you all agree? And he said, wrong. He says, coffee got spilled because there was coffee in the cup. He goes, it could have been water. Then it would have been water that was spilled. It could have been juice. It could have been a number of types of drinks. That's why the coffee got spilled, because it was coffee that was in the cup. He goes, so when life comes along with circumstances or an individual and bumps into you, what spills out? Because it's not the bumping, it's what's inside and how it responds when it's bumped. That's what comes out. I can't believe that guy makes me mad all the time. No, that's because you have anger issues inside that are ready to be spilled out. And we all are guilty of having the wrong thing spill out at inappropriate times. Thanksgiving here is a biblical basis. Look at the scripture he says. We kind of leaned towards this already. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In other words, have a continuous spirit of prayer in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know that you could take that verse and take out the very last word, Y-O-U, and just put your name there. It's God's will for Kevin. It's God's will for Debbie. It's God's will for Effie. It's God's will for Bud. And we could go on and on. And Rosa and Rusty. It's God's will for us. If you are a you. I love watching. I haven't done it for a long, long time, but I used to love watching Laurel and Hardy all the time. And Laurel and Hardy, Ollie and Stanley. And Stanley was my favorite one. He was the skinny one. He was the one that would say stuff like, yeah, you know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but a pencil must be led. In one of the movies that they did, Oliver was known by Stanley's kids as he called him their uncle. They weren't related, but they looked at him as their uncle. And so his kids one day in real life asked their daddy, why does uncle always beat up on you? Why does he always hit you with his hat? And you know how he was always beating on him, you know? He goes, it's just, we're just pretending, we're acting. he really doesn't mean to hit me like that. It's just for the movie we're doing. And he goes, and the kids didn't believe him. And so they started, as they were getting older, to avoid him, afraid that he would hit them. And so they decided to design a movie where he actually, Stanley, was the one that started hitting Oliver. And in the process, he did that for his kids. And I can't remember the name of the movie. I've got the clip at home. And in it, they were helping a widow woman, and she had misplaced something, but she thought somebody stole it. And in the process, they were trying to put the blame on Stanley. And when Oliver thought Stanley stole from a widow, he was mad. He was giving him the once over, "You criminal, you crook, you thief, you Judas." I mean, he's going on and on. And Stanley's sitting there crying. And as this, he just keeps coming up with more and more words and getting on Stanley. And finally, he ran out of things to call him. He goes, "And you. And all of a sudden, Stanley just wiped his tears. He goes, "Don't you call me a you. He didn't care what all those other bad words. He didn't want to. And he ended up going around because he got mad, being called a you, and chased him. And it was all done, and he was beaten on him for the kids. Well, let me just say tonight, I went all through that whole long story to let you know that you are a you. Now, don't get mad, but it says here concerning you and you and you. Look what it says in Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That word watch means to give strict attention to be cautious, to be. Now, in the context here, it's prayer, watching, and thanksgiving. Through your prayer, give strict attention in your prayer time to make sure that you are being grateful. In your prayer time, many times we're asking, and never thanking. It's interesting, the word thanksgiving. Does anybody know what the Greek word is for thanksgiving? We don't like the term the way it's used usually, but it's a biblical term. When you were to go into the Catholic Church and they were going to have what we would call communion, they would take the bread and they called it the host, and they would hold up what they called the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is the exact Greek word of thanksgiving. You're holding up something that you're thankful for. And we need to hold up Christ in the right sense, that he is the Eucharist. He is the one that deserves all thanksgiving. And he tells us in that text to be watchful and alert that we do that. Look at Psalm 100, verse 4, one of the great verses out of Psalm. He says, "Enter." That means go in and bring in. You're going to take something with you. "Enter into his gates," what? "With thanksgiving." Praise to God. "And into his court with praise, be thankful unto him, bless his name." His name, his reputation. The word "bless" means to cause that person to come in as you enter in with thanksgiving into when you come into the sanctuary, there's praise, and then there is the blessing of his name, his reputation. It makes you drop to your knees. The word "bless" means to kneel. It paints a pretty clear picture of the spirit of us. I really believe, this is me, I've not done it here yet, but I think Psalm 100, verse 4, ought to be posted over the top of every entrance into the church to remind you as you come in to enter with thanksgiving and to come in with praise. Sometimes people come in not even concerned about worshiping God or praising him. They just come in like it's a normal active duty, like clocking in at work. And God's saying, we have to be careful of those things. Colossians 3:15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called into one body. And look what it says, and be ye thankful. Demonstrate the spirit of gratitude. Let it live in you. As a matter of fact, look at that word. Let the peace of God, look at that word. You ought to circle it or underline it. The word rule. The word rule. That word rule has several meanings in the Greek. One of them that catches me all the time has to do with an umpire. If you're playing baseball as they are over there, you have all the kids that are out there. They got their positions that they're playing, and they have umpires that are standing at third baseline, first baseline, and as they stand there, when that ball is cracked and it comes down, it's the umpire who calls the play. Fair ball! And it's playable. If he says it's out of bounds, it nullifies it unless it's in the air and it's caught. Let God's Holy Spirit be the one that rules in your heart, who calls what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. That's what he's talking about here. Hebrews 12:25. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Let us have grace, or thanksgiving will always create a graceful spirit, not only that we receive grace from him, but that we will show it to others. In our study on Sunday afternoons, the terrifying moment where this woman was taken in the very act of adultery and was brought by the Pharisees and the scribes, they showed no grace, only law. No grace. And you know what that tells you? They were not thankful to God for things. They weren't thankful for the grace of God towards them, so they offered none to her. Your actions will reveal who you are and what you think of God. D.L. Moody said this, among all the apostles, none suffered so much as Paul. But none of them do we find so often giving thanks as he. Take his letter to the Philippians. Remember what he suffered at Philippi? How they laid many stripes upon him, cast him into prison. Yet every chapter in that epistle speaks of rejoicing and giving thanks. That is, there is that well-known passage, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. In other words, Paul lived out a spirit of thanksgiving. Now, as we're going through these 12 steps, we're on step 8 here, eight. I am not in my prayer time. I haven't altered my prayer time to do the steps that way yet. I'm taking each one each week and making this week will be a week of focusing on thanksgiving. And then next week we'll be on focusing on whatever the next one is. And then after I get through all of these, I will begin to break down my prayer journal, how I pray, and I'll begin to bring these all into it. But I'm just focusing on each one each week just to have a better understanding of it. Here's the prayer application. Confess personal blessings. Confess personal blessings. A time to appreciate. Sorry about that. A time to appreciate. Being sensitive of what God is doing and has been doing. Appreciation. Remember, as we've stated before, that the giver is always greater than the gift. Remember the illustration, and I'm going to repeat it because it needs to be repeated, that there was a father who I know quite well who for years kept a TV out of their home just for personal reasons. He had little kids, and every time he'd come home from work, he'd walk in the front door. It was like clockwork. I'd come in, they knew what time it was, Dad was home from work, and I'd come in, my kids would come running to me, grab me around the legs, and he goes, I'd have to drag them on my legs. Y'all remember those days when they were little? and stuff like that. And he goes, I have to drag them in me, and they'd be jumping up, Daddy's home, Daddy's home. He goes, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. He goes, it was a thing that I look forward to, a thing that they look forward to. And he goes, and then there came a time where, he goes, we decided that my wife and I was going to get a small television so that we could watch some good videos that would promote good Bible teaching for our children and stuff. And there were some good programs that could be watched. And he goes, and one day after we got that thing, the kids were excited. He goes, one day I came home from work and I opened up the door waiting to be attacked, and nobody. I wonder where they're at. He goes, I began walking around looking. No, no, no. He goes, I walked into the living room, and there the TV was on, and they were all surrounded around the TV. And he goes, I walked over there, and I turned it off. And they go, oh, Dad. And he goes, the gift has become more important than the giver. I think that we are guilty of doing that to God, maybe on a regular basis. We used to be excited. We used to say, as David did, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And something changed. David said, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. And now something's changed. Don't let the change take you the other direction. Remember our whole theme this year. I have not promoted it very much, but it's higher ground. Thanksgiving is a prayer application. Confess personal blessings. Confess personal blessings. There's your next blank. Blessings. Right there under prayer application. Confess personal blessings. Andrew Murray says this, Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God and keep us engaged with Him. It will take our attention from ourselves and give the Spirit room to move in our hearts. Wow. We don't hear that kind of talk anymore. The life application, or how we should live this out, is become a walking thank you. I have made mention before, Althea, one of Althea's younger sisters, is notorious for always, regularly sending out thank you cards. When we were in New Hampshire, at our church in New Hampshire, she was living up there then, and she was known for always people just coming up to her, thank you for that card. And it might not even be a thank you because they've done something for her. She's just thankful for them as her friend. And you talk about a ministry that's overlooked. Little cards with somebody's name on, just want you to know, you have been a blessing to me. I'll tell you what, that can change somebody. So we see that it can be done not only towards God, but towards the saints. Matter of fact, he says, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Become a walking thank you note. In other words, we want to be able to acknowledge regularly gratitude of what people do for us or just who they are. Let me ask you this. How many of you have some friends or family or loved ones that you wish that they've already gone on, that you wish you could talk with them again and thank them for some things? Properly thank them. And by the way, if you have parents that are still alive, now's the time to do it, because those will be one of the ones you'll wish that you neglected just to let them know. Just to let them know. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you did in helping me to be what I am today. I just want you to know that. I don't know if I've shared this before. When my mom was passing away, She was in hospice, and hospice is not a good, fun place to be. And she was laying in bed with a huge fever. And time kind of just goes really slow. You're just waiting. Nobody else was there at that point in time. I was by myself. And so I had I feel embarrassed to say that. I had a stupid little game on my, little sporting game, football game or something like that, on my phone. And I'm just kind of burning time while I'm waiting, you know. And I started really getting into it. And out of probably 30 minutes of playing this stupid little game, I'm sitting there playing it, and I'm really getting intense, like, oh, yeah, you know. All of a sudden, my mom goes, Kevin? I said, yeah. I'm playing. Kevin? Yeah. And I actually got upset that she was interrupting my game. And I got up and walked over there, and I leaned over, and she was hot. I put a washcloth on her and changed them out. I said, what do you need, Mom? And she goes, I just need you. And you go, and you're about that big. I have never, ever, since that day, had a game on my phone. I don't even have games at my home anymore. Those things might not be harmful, but they are temporal at best. And they'll make you lose focus because you can get wrapped up in them and miss out on the more important things and wish that you could have said, Mom, I'm sorry. Now, I have to say, I did tell the Lord to tell her that, all right, since then. I have confessed it, so I'm right with that, but it's just an illustration that we can not be as appreciative as we should be. On your page there, we saw that we started out with praise, went into the area of recognizing God's nature. We start out with silent soul surrender and waiting. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:10. We went into temple cleansing, confession, word-enriched prayer, begin sharing scripture back to the Lord. If you share scripture as a prayer request, you'll always know that you're praying God's will. Amen. Watching, we will develop a holy alertness of the Holy Spirit prompting us and bringing people to our mind. Then we got into intercession, remembering the world and those around us. And then last week, petition, sharing our personal needs. And now, thanksgiving. And we have that verse there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now on page 48, what's next here? And we have four ways to get started and keep going. In your step 8 of the world-changing prayer, begin thanksgiving by thinking about all God has given you in the recent days. Now I want you to understand what we're talking about here. Take time to think about what God has given you in the recent days. And remember, if we're talking about thanksgiving, that could be things that you're glad that you have, and things that you wish you didn't have. Things that seem to be a blessing and things that you say, well, I wish God would take this away. Well, he may one time, but you need to thank him for it first. He gives us things. He allows things to happen to us, right, for purposes. When we went down to Florida, the day before the conference started, I rolled over in bed and my knee went out. And that's a lot of walking. That's a whole week of walking. And ended up going to the ER, a bunch of other stuff, and made it through the week. Still hurts. Went in and got an MRI today, and we'll find out what the results are. Not something I wanted to have before I had to do a bunch of walking. So I have to take time and say, okay, Lord, there's a purpose here, and I just don't know what it is. But I want to say thank you. Not for this, but that there's something greater that you want to do in my life because of this. I remember when we were in the New Hampshire area, I was walking our parsonage. They had a parsonage. We're up in the mountains, 250 people that are up in the mountains. And we were here, and probably about three big country lots down was the church. And I was walking over to the church one day, and I had slip-ons on, and I picked up a, you ever pick up a rock and a little tiny pebble in your shoe? I picked up a little pebble in my shoe, and I was too lazy to stop and take my shoe and shake it out, you know? So I'm trying to pat it down, curl up my toes so it doesn't get on it, you know? I'm trying to do all kinds of things. Finally, I get to the church, go up the stairs, sit down at my desk, take my shoe off, and pour out this little dinky, about the size of a pinhead, black little stone comes rolling out, boink. So I took a piece of tape and put tape on it and put it on a 3x5 card, and it was a white 3x5 card and a little black stone. You could see it really good. So I took it into the morning church services, and I said, before we preach today, we'd already sung all the songs, so before we preach today, I need have something I need to confess to the church. Something that I've been struggling with. It has affected, literally has affected my walk. And people are like, give us the stuff, man. Give us the stuff. People were wiping drool off of their things. Yeah. And I said, yeah, it's something I've tried to act like it wasn't there, but it just kept coming back. And I just kept building on this door. Finally, I reached in my pocket. I pulled this thing out. I said, this little stone right here was in my shoe on the way to church here today. Then you can see everybody, and they kind of deflate. But we need to sometimes be thankful. It says, for everything that God has done, there's a purpose for everything under the sun, the Bible says. Number two, use these moments of reflection as a basis of offering, look what it says here, specific thanksgiving for specific spiritual things, material things, physical things, and external blessings. Not a general, Lord, I just want to say thank you for everything you've done for me. No, it says specific. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings, right? Then frequently thank God. This is a cool one. Frequently thank God in advance for blessings you expect him to bestow on you in the future. That is not being cocky. That's being confident. Thanking God, Lord, I know that this is your will. I see it right here in your word. So I can pray and thank you right now that you're going to save so-and-so. I'm praying for them and I'm witnessing to them. I know you're going to do a work. And then thank God for at least one particular blessing that you have not thanked him for yet. It comes down to our next page here. We're running out of time here. But go all the way to the bottom, prayer points. I was really praying about this one this week. It says, take time to thank God for at least one blessing that he has given you, that you are certain you have never thanked him for in the past. Then thank him by faith for an answered prayer that has not yet come, but something from which you are trusting him to answer. So a past thing that you haven't thanked him for, and for a future thing that you're praying for that God is going to give, and you're already thanking him because he is sovereign and will perform that. So I was thinking about that as we break up for prayer. And I think we ought to get where we're two, the Bible says, or three people together. I think we ought to get in groups of two or three. It can be all men and all women, however you want to do it. And I'm not asking you to pray around the world. I'm not asking you to pray for anything about other than this. To something that you are spiritually thankful for, specifically. Something that you are physically thankful for. And something that you're praying about that you want to thank God right now for. That hasn't happened yet, but you believe that it is. Can you do that as a Christian? Huh? Ah, you guys don't seem to be convinced. I think so. So find someone to partner with, two or three in a group, and what you are going to do is one of you are going to pray for those three things, And then the others, we're going to pray for their three. And then as they're praying for theirs, you're in your spirit agreeing with God with them. Because if we agree together on earth as touching anything in heaven, God will hear that prayer. So gather together. We'll see who needs a partner here. And you can stay with your spouses. You can break up. But two or three in a group.